The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's the 20th of February, 2026. We are diving into the year. And, you know, February is coming to an end soon, next week. And by the time we are awake, we are already in December. And that's why we are here at your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, Eagle FM, so that we'll be able to give you content and context of what is happening around the world in Namibia, and also how we can drive the conversation of, you know, development policy analysis and what is needed. And do not forget to download, you know, Eagle FM app, because it's quite a very important app that you can put into your phone. Either you have a Play Store, App Store, iPhone, whether you have an iPhone, you have Android, as long as you have access to internet and you can download an app, you can download Eagle FM Namibia, that you'll be able to listen to us wherever you are in Namibia and also outside the world. And it's a year of development. It's a year of development. We have a lot of expectation, and we must also understand, when it comes to expectation, we must also learn expectation management. What is that to expect, and also what is that is likely not to happen. And when you have a very good understanding of expectation management, then it's going to be easy for us to navigate through. But in this morning, it's quite important in life, wherever you are finding yourself, whatever situation you are, must be able to understand that you know, patience is the greatest ally. Patience and time is the greatest ally. Because if you are in trouble, that also shall pass. But if you are at a good moment, it will also pass. But patience is something that I think we should also be taught to say, things don't come as they appear. Things take time. Things don't come as they appear. You start a project or you start a certain thing and you think it's not working. But it's just after 20 years you think it's not working. But things take time to appear. And I think those who can learn from advanced countries, then they understand that they also incorporate patience in their plan. Let us look at a short commercial break, then we come back shortly.
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99. 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99. 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99. And 10 kg Bokomo fat cook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at Voermanbrock.com. We care.
Yeah, understanding that you cannot get things done without having an ability to wait and also see them growing. That is why we are focusing on that, and also indicating that maybe we should also apply that to our policy development and also implementation, to say sometimes we must, I think, also give people time. But the question should always be, do they also give time to implement? Because one thing that we must understand is that had we thought long term before, or had we continued what had been planned long term, we wouldn't be where we are. And that is one thing that we should also continue learning. Because what I observe, and also what we connect when you research with other countries, you realize to say there is a legacy of development. There are unwritten rules of, developing states and institutions. If you look in the US, for example, you realize to say DA and the Republicans can be fighting, but if there is standing policies on national development or standing policies on foreign policy, Obama and Trump can agree on one thing, to say Iran is still a threat, but the strategy can be different to them. They still believe that America can be made great again in their different strategies. That is why if you go deep and see, you realize that the foundation of developed countries is not only seen in politics, but is in the people of those countries. But what we also observe in Africa is that, you know, once somebody left power, then somebody can come up with new ways without continuing on some of the projects. That's why where the situation of where DRC is, for example, now, you may want to think that if you want to fix DRC economy, if you want to fix Namibian economy, if you want to fix South African economy, there must be continuation. There must be those people who are kept, those people who can go through terms to terms. Because the wisest person now, the wisest person now in DRC is maybe an old minister who went through all the administration, went through Raurento, went through Joseph Kambira, and went through now Tshisekedi. Because the news that we are starting with, especially before we go to the conversation for today, is that of DRC, and it has to do with mining. It has to do with mining. They stated that the United States has secured tantalum reserve in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and that agreement targets Manono region in Lubaya mining area. And if you just look at what has been happening, and there's a saying in Africa to say, when the brothers are fighting, you know, the foreigner is taking the land. Because while you are busy fighting, while M23 is busy fighting the government of DRC, while we are focusing on each other, while we are focusing on each other fighting each other, then somebody from the outside come and take. And you are not blaming US. US is securing their strategic interest. It's about those who also are playing in this game. Because if you look at the use of this element called tantalum, it's part of critical minerals. It's part of critical minerals. It's used for electronics. It's used for smartphones. The iPhones that you see, the supercomputers that you see, the, you know, medical implants. You speak about private jet engines. You speak about jet fighters, the from F-14 to F-35 that you see. These are elements which are used. Then the question is that now, is this a real deal if you are observing it, or it was born out of conflict? If it was a contract, was there any cohesion? Was the person forced to sign this agreement? And you must also be able to realize that there have been a lot of development which happened in DRC, and at the center of DRC conflict is minerals. It has always been minerals. I was watching one documentary. There is one interesting guy called James Kambarembe. He was a general in DRC at one point, but he's from Rwanda. But he's a guy who almost captured DRC in one month, if you go back to history. It's interesting also to see how the resources of our lands are just going like that. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not even blaming Tshisekedi. But I'm also, we should learn from this thing when these things are happening. Because I've seen academics are very angry, and they are right there opening up and debating this. But who cause the conflicts in Africa? Can we really have conflict without ourselves undermining each other? And also the question of unity too, to say why we are focusing on fighting each other. And it can even be brought at home and everywhere. Because now, M23 is fighting with the government of DRC. He has come and say, hey, guys, don't fight, don't fight, don't fight. Have you seen that guy who come to the fight and is also taking people's phones? You've come to the fight and you're also checking what is in whose pocket. By the time the fight ends, you also benefit, but you were trying to solve the conflict. But it's something to look at. It's something also to see if what has been agreed in G20, particularly when it's coming to critical minerals, is implemented. What has been agreed when it comes to AU-EU Summit 2 is implemented, or it's going to continue as it has been. So that is a conversation. And apart from DRC, you know, there is news here in news here, especially from Kenya. It's news here from Kenya to say Russia has taken over 1,000 Kenyans to fight in Ukraine, according to Kenya's intelligence service report. There is an intelligence report. It's a joint investigation by Kenyan National Intelligence Service, Directorate of Criminal Investigations, that was presented in Parliament, which indicated that the number of recruits of Kenyans out of the country are standing at 1,000, higher than the figure which was predicted to be 200 in December. And it is stated that the Kenyans leave the country on tourist visa to join the Russian army through Istanbul, Turkey, as well as Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, Kimani, Ichungwa. The majority leader of parliament in Kenya has stated, and it has also stated that increased border enforcement at Nairobi airport meant recruits were also now traveling to other African countries to avoid detection. And it's a concern because it's not only in Senegal, it's not only in Nigeria, because Nigeria on Monday they just warned their citizens to be careful, particularly in partaking in war in Russia. In Tanzania it has happened, in Uganda it has happened, in South Africa. The reason Duduzile Kabudra was taken out of parliament and was demoted by his own father, Jacob Zuma, through MK Party. One of the allegations was the recruitment of South Africans to fight in on the side of Russia in Ukraine. And it seems like there is a lot of Africans there. And it's also maybe a time to ask your brother who said was going to UK, or your brother who said was going to Abu Dhabi, or your brother who said was going to Turkey. It's time to check up on them. Maybe they are already at the war front. Maybe they are already dodging drones, or maybe they are already firing rockets, because this war has also got an opportunity to capitalize on our poverty in Africa, to capitalize on the desperation of our young people, because definitely the world knows that the majority of Africans are young, desperate, and do not have opportunities. And offers like that, if you are offered a job in tech, somebody recruiting you online, by the time you get in a certain airport, then you are forced to sign a military agreement, either 2 years or 3 years, and there is amount of money. But for your own understanding, if you just get that basic training, the war of nowadays is not a war of conventional warfare where you go with guns and face each other in the bush. People are rocketing drones, and the possibility for you to die in that war is very high, because that environment is not your natural environment. The first thing is no. The second thing is highly sophisticated war that is fought by machines, but you just want money. And the Kenyan intelligence report is indicating that young people, it's around 1,000 a day, They've joined the Russian, force. And the question of asking yourself to say, how many Africans are on the battle of Russia and Ukraine? And also, what are some of the methods that need to be done, to be used, actually, to make sure that young people are protected and they also end up not joining this? And also the other thing of to say, the situation of opportunities for young people in Africa should be also declared as a state of continental emergency. A state of continental emergency, if there is something like that, so that they can be assisted. Because, number one, if you look at the reports of Interpol, particularly related to human trafficking, majority of young people, particularly the ladies, they find themselves in this zone from Africa. If you look at migration, either it's from the Horn of Africa or Central Africa or Western Africa, people who are dying in the rivers and oceans in the Mediterranean Sea every day, these are the African young people, not old young people. And the question is that why is it so difficult to create opportunities in Africa? Why can't we reverse that of which have been happening, even from colonialism? Maybe it's also right to make a critical self-assessment. And when Kenyan intelligence report is indicating like this, maybe it's also a question to ask in Namibia to say, to what extent is the vulnerability of youth of Namibia got impacted by external forces? To what extent is the vulnerability, the desperation, and the lack of opportunities of young people in Namibia? To what extent the situation have gone? Do you also have young people in Namibia who are part of the war in Russia and Ukraine? Do you also have them? It's just a matter of asking the questions, because even if the study is not done, or maybe even if the report is not reported, situation like what have happened, especially when we have seen some of the young people who, some of Namibians, more than 20 Namibians, find themselves in Thailand because of human trafficking. You're asking yourself, these are the people with qualifications. And imagine somebody who studied, for example, criminal justice and did not get an opportunity and they offer like this scam, or studied law, or those who are interested in force and defense. Imagine a person like this. And how many of these people are in those war zone? Maybe none. But how many are vulnerable? Some are even volunteering themselves to say, I want to go to the battleground, but are they coming back even? And does the Russian also, know this? Or these are just mere allegations? So it's a matter of questioning, because it's a vulnerability. Nobody want to go to war. Even the soldier who is at the base does not want to go to war. Nobody want to go to war because that is death. But is poverty, is lack of opportunity one of the factors that is leading people to do such kinds of things? Because full of our cousins from Africa are there, and they are dying. Actually, there are always reports, particularly if a person died. There are always reports when a person died. Find them in Ukraine, and Ukraine is fighting with military firepower from the US, and they are defending their country. And if you find yourself on the other side, you become a casualty. But yeah, those are the things which are happening. To say Kenya is concerned, Kenya produced a report to say 1,000. Uganda was the study done, but there are also reports, particularly January reports. South Africa, evidence are there. And people are fired from parliament and also from parties. They are demoted. If the situation even caught the favorite kid, Duduzile Zuma, and many others, you realize to say it's very serious. Very serious. Nigeria, regardless of them having their own challenges to fight jihadists, young people are also joining Russia. And you're asking yourself, why do you go to Russia to join Russia to fight while you have jihadists in the northern Niger province, which are even giving tough time? And it's tough. It's all coming back to the economy. It's all coming back to opportunities. And nobody was happy, particularly when a Namibian young lady last year found herself, at the center of controversy. Young, beautiful ladies become drunk mules. It's the situation which needs to be fixed. There's no young person who wants to be a drunk mule. They find themselves in these situations. And people do not speak about these things. But yeah, the other thing which is happening is International Monetary Fund and also Niger. It was indicated that International Monetary Fund approved $91 million to support developmental programs in Niger following a program review. And it's also very interesting to see that, it's also maybe a lesson also to learn to say, man, how come a country such as Niger, which is under military leadership, or which is under a junta, having a stable economy, how come how come Niger become fast growing, one of the fastest growing economies in Africa? How come Zimbabwe become one of the fastest growing economies in Africa? How come Sudan, after all the war, they are still fastest growing economies in Africa, but not Namibia? What do we need to do differently? We need to come in and also answer these questions. What do we need to do different? Are the economists who have been giving us advice lying to us? Or is really the system? Or we need to come together and find out how we need to handle this economy. Because if Zimbabwe can do it, why can't we do it? If Sudan, which has history of difficult situation, starvation, war, but not Namibia. We are still under, under 3%. Because if you look at the International Monetary Fund report, you can go to their website. You can also download the report of International Monetary Fund and Niger, it was stated that they conducted reviews, and this is the 8th review of these two different programs of, internationally, or it's called Extended Credit Facility and Resilience and Sustainable Facility. After conducting that review, IMF have approved the $91 million to support economic development in Niger. And the website of IMF indicated that Niger economic growth is expected to remain strong at 6.7 in 2026. That is despite a challenging security environment and recurring climate shocks. It's not only us who have climate shocks, Niger too. But we are a peaceful country. Niger, they also have security issues. They are not yet stable in terms of security. But their economy is at 6.7% in 2026. And through that,
Through the ECF program, Niger will receive $61 million from IMF to help and meet external financial needs. RSF review will allow $31 million, and together is, $30 million, and together is 91. And in that regard, you must also be able to understand that previously is the same International Monetary Fund which have structure adjustment program. It's the same International Monetary Fund which, we're looking at governance first. But why do you think IMF is interested in assisting even the countries that do not have democracy? Why is it interested in that? Because one thing must be very clear to say, these countries, regardless of nobody supporting military coup, but they still potential in Africa. They still potential in this country. But maybe it's also at the time also for us also to learn, especially when it comes to handling of the economy, to say what other reforms that need to be done. But what is interesting is also that the same IMF report has also indicated that some of the major strength of Niger development that prompted this economic growth is key structural reforms and broader public finance management and also anti-corruption reforms. Maybe that is what we need to learn to say when it comes to anti-corruption reforms, what are some of the things that we do? And we are waiting to see, especially when it comes to the budget, and in days to come, Meme Shafuda will also be the star minister, especially when she has to shine, and she has also to present what she has for us in Namibia, what is in the coffer, who is going to be allocated what, and when it comes to the budget, how are things going to be? And are we going to have a budget that is going to show progress when it comes to economic development? Are we going to have a budget which is going to take us out of this economic challenge, particularly when it comes to domestic economic growth? Are we now going to have more of developmental budget than operational budget? Are we also going to have a budget that is going to be able to deliver on the needed objectives of NDP6? And what happened after money allocation? Are we also going to have a different monitoring and evaluation, mechanism? Because communicating with Salomo Ipinge, one of the economists, and I was just asking general questions to getting an expert view regarding to say, looking for example at the recent monetary policy pronunciation, and also looking at our NDP6, are we in line? And this is some of the things that he has to communicate through writing. He indicated that achieving, for example, 500,000 jobs by 2030, as per ambitious target set under NDP6, will be a challenge considering the current economic growth rate, which is under 3%. He also stated that reaching such targets, economists generally agreed that there must be consistent growth of 7% or high. And currently, the economy is moving at less than half pace. Because for you to create 500,000 jobs, he stated that economists have agreed to say, first, you also need economic expansion so that you can be able to create these jobs. and you need 7% or high. But currently, we are not a 7% growth in 2025. And we are not even half of 7% growth. But it's a lesson to learn to say in 2026, what can we do differently? What can we do differently? And he further stated that when it comes to the government depends more on long-term projects, particularly from green hydrogen with a target of 30,000 jobs by 2030, and oil and gas. And these are long-term projects that may not provide massive employment by 2030. And there is still a will. Things can be done, but the question is that what is the differentiating factor? What can we do differently in 2026? And also to realize, also to say, maybe what also the citizens do not understand. Because everybody has a role to play. To say, what are the citizens not understanding? What are the young people doing? What are the young people doing to help in achieving these projects? Are we united in coming up with community projects? Are we united? Do we have fundable projects? Or we are still competing and also busy putting each other down? So, it's a concern, but there is no concern which cannot be, dealt with, particularly looking at what needs to be done in terms of the economy. And remember, because our conversation with Ms. Belter from 7th, after that, we also look at the Villager newspaper for today, and also look at what we have on the paper. And stay tuned. We are coming back shortly.
Eshu wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe ya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipakete. Top score instant. Oyaita kwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe dana mibia o shipu nengono landoka shako oko KG imwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi longwa shishe ndeto SMS o shicha instant. Totumu kombali o neveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli o tali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu o dodino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are going to extend the conversation, particularly from the hour of 7 there. Especially when we are going to look at his uranium plant, a feasible project. Can it be done long term? And everybody have agreed, especially all Namibians have agreed that we need energy. But the process and the mechanism, there is no one who wants us to continue giving too much money to South Africa, buying electricity from Eskom. There is no one who wants that. And it's also becoming a concern because now they are stable and they mean business. But how can we continue buying electricity from Eskom if we can still make our own electricity? They should thank us. We have continued supporting them and we are buying them in foreign currency. How can a country with less than 4 million population continue buying electricity from South Africa? While we have our own potential, we have plenty of solar, we have uranium that is the best in the world. And you're going to listen from the expert too, because I also have to go and ask to say what different types of uranium do we have in Namibia? And what are some of the value added? And how did it develop the country? And is this a feasible project? Particularly from the point of energy creation? And can we have that patience also for a long-term approach? Even if we are not going to benefit from that long-term project during our generation, why can't it be started? Because problems in the world are not stopping, and challenges are not stopping. But when it comes to energy, we have a long way to go. Who is going to lose if we start a project with our own uranium? But yeah, it's a question that the mining engineer will answer today. And so indicated that it's coming to mining and economics. We are also going to look into that. And also to say, what are other things that need to be done, especially when it comes also to diamond, to say, is buying the beers, shares in the beers, are we going to buy a dead horse? Or what can be done to revive such a sector? Because not only is Botswana the highest producer of diamond, which is suffering, it's also the self. And the common position that need to be taken by Africa to say, when it comes to G20, for example, framework on minerals, on critical minerals, is this framework really going to be effective? Or is just communication? But yeah, let us look at a short commercial break, and stay tuned. However, you can still engage us in the studio. Give your opinion and view at 083-288-401-083-288-401, especially when you speak about economic matters and also policy matters. And what concerns me is that are we not doing enough research, or is just the economy which is stuck? And there's something that needs to be really spoken, especially when we say the private sector is not supported. What is being done to businesses? There are Namibians who started their businesses after independence. Why are they not growing? Is it really that these people are not working hard? There are those Namibians who started business immediately after independence, 1990. But you can find, and with no matter of being anti-foreigners, but you can find somebody who come here, start a company 5 years ago, or just 3 years ago from outside, and is getting all the good treatment. And these people, they are going with a lot of money from Namibia, a lot of money. But is the private sector head? Because it has now become very clear. When you look at the policy statement, which is indicating that when it comes to credit, credit, private credit renting, it is subdued. Why do we have to use these sophisticated words to say the credit to the private sector is subdued? Why can't we just say financial institutions are not giving enough money to Namibian businesses so that they can try, they can fail, but in that process they can create jobs? Why are we using fancy words and we are not saying Namibians, funds are not invested in Namibian businesses? Because it will not help us anything to be technical with terms if we are not explaining those things. To say no, banks, they are making profits, but they are not giving Namibians money. And there is one lady who I will not forget, especially last year. It's from one of our commercial banks, was giving a presentation. And she stated something. It's making sense, but it's also offending. Because she said, no, if your parents cannot trust you with money, do you think a bank will just give you money like that? From a capitalist point of view, it's making sense. But did you give these people a chance also? Because we will continue having this discussion. And I hope also as the Prime Minister indicated, I hope also that our ministers, they will also be able to report what they have done, because it's no more 100 days in the office anymore, because now they have settled. Maybe they will also be able to report, and we want to see those reports too, because there was indication of strong monitoring and evaluation. The minister, at least they have been able to produce their reports to say, okay, you were appointed at health, what have you done? You were appointed at the works and transport, what have you done? You were given this amount of money, what did you do with that money? And how many jobs have you created? In our evaluation tools and analysis, what did you contribute to the NDP 6 that we say is a guiding pillar of the next 5 years? Are you effective or not effective? What are some of the challenges? What are you going to do different? Because money will still be distributed, but the question is always the question of accountability. Did you know what you were doing? Because ministers have to be to account, and it's not only ministers. Ministers have to account to the government, and also those who are working within the ministries, because things, people must push each other. Minister talk to ED, ED talk to the directors, and talk to those employees too. Because everyone have to account. Because if we are not doing that, then we will continue saying this, we need to, we must. How can somebody stand up and say, no, we must, I'm just giving an example, we must protect the environment, but you are the Commissioner of Environment, just for example. Or somebody say, no, we need to promote the safety and security, we need to make sure that we do this, but you are a certain, you are a leader within that that sector. Why are we doing that? Why can't you say, this is what is done, this is the plan that we have, this is what we are doing? Because if we continue saying we need to, how can you say we need to eat food if food is on the table? Or we need to clean the house, we need to do this. We have to develop that aspect of saying, if you are now doing our job when we are speaking and communicating information, why can't we practically apply? And it will be also interesting also, especially when we can learn from our neighbors in the other countries to say, can Parliament hold the executive accountable also? Because Parliament has a right to summon anybody in Namibia in terms of accounting for the people. Can Parliament summon part of the executives to say, no, come and answer? Minister, answer this question. Where did you do, what did you do in the next, what are some of the challenges that you have faced? Why is the plan saying this and this is not happening? And vice versa too. But yeah, it's a conversation need to be expanded. Let's go to a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to look at the context for today. And remember that we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. And interestingly, the Villager newspaper will also be able to get what is on the paper. And don't ever forget that we are available at Eagle FM app too. When you download that, you will not suffer. When you download that, then you can be able to connect anyway, either you are in the country or outside the country, wherever you are, you'll be able to be connected. Just go to App Store, go to Play Store, type in Eagle FM Namibia, download that app, then we communicate.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Ngino
wapomboa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka oku kwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otu kwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora itatu natu bali o itatu watatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
3-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The eye.
We are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic development. I'm joined by Ms. Belta Itana. She's a mining expert, and we'll speak about uranium performance, particularly in the context of Namibia. And we are also going to look at what are some of the things that we can do, especially looking at the context that we have NDP-6, and our president is speaking about adding value, mineral beneficiation, and also the strategy of stopping pit to the pot, or just extracting and sending to the market. Ms. Belta Itana, good morning. Thank you for joining us, and how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Good morning to you and to your listeners.
Yes, let's beat to the pot, or just extracting and sending to the market. Ms. Belta Itana, good morning. Thank you for joining us, and how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Good morning to you and to your listeners.
Yes, let us start with uranium performance in Namibia. We have seen Bank of Namibia recently released, its repo rate, and through its explanation of domestic economic performance of 2025, they stated that uranium continued to be one of our best performing commodities in compared to diamond and other commodities. Maybe what
Let's look at value addition. Have we entered value to uranium in the past 10 years or so? And what are some of those developments, particularly in that area?
Okay. Before I answer your question, I need to give you context of what drives the performance of the uranium sector. The strong performance of the uranium sector in Namibia has been driven mainly by the rising uranium prices, which has resulted in operating mines like Rossing and Husab mine increasing output. The increased output translated to higher revenue and greater contribution to the Namibian economy. If you look at the performance of the uranium spot price, it has moved up from only just below 30 US dollars per pound in the early 2021 to over 100 US dollars per pound by early 2026. So, and this is mainly driven by the strong uranium demand for nuclear energy, which is obviously, nuclear power plants, and shortages of uranium, uranium supply in the market. If you look in 2024, we have seen Husab mines declaring a profit for the first time since the mine went into production towards the end of 2016. The mine was one of the single biggest investments in the Namibian mining industry, with an initial capital expenditure of about 5 billion US dollars, which translates to about 90 billion Namibian dollars using the current exchange rate. This cost has been worsened by the rand, continuing weakening against the US dollar. As the mine production ramp up profile required additional operating and capital expenditures to meet the operational objectives. So the mine's profitability contributed significantly to the government coffers and can be considered as a value, as value added over the past number of years.
Now, let us look at long term, because a lot of people are speaking about Namibia. We are number three in terms of uranium production in the world, and we sell to China. Almost over 80% of our uranium is going to China, and people are also concerned about what have happened also to diamond. To say if we continue depending on one commodity to save us, what will happen in the long term? In your view, is the development in the uranium sector satisfactory in terms of value addition, or do you think we need to do more, especially to get something from to continue getting something from uranium? If I make my question clear.
Okay, value added. Personally, I'm looking at reinvestment in the sector to make sure that the operations remain sustainable and the supply of uranium remains sustainable.
Yeah.
I think if you look at Langer Heinrich mine, Langer Heinrich was on care and maintenance for about 6 years. And it only reopened and resumed its operations in March 2024. The mine recorded like an output of 3 million pounds of uranium in June 2025. And 2.7 of that production ended up in the market. You know, this required a substantial reinvestment into the mine. And operational discipline, adding much needed value to the uranium mining industry. Although the mine has not been profitable in its early stages of reopening, it certainly contributed significantly to the country's export earnings and the country's future earning potential. Looking further at let's say adding more value to the uranium, that is a long-term goal that requires research. You know, you need to research, and then it also needs an off-taker. And then you also need, there are so many factors to consider. And it's a whole study on its own.
Let us look at uranium blend. And a lot of people were asking to say why Namibia, the highest producer of uranium than a lot of countries in the world. I think we are number one in Africa, because we are number three in the world. And they are asking a question to say, why is Namibia not coming up with your uranium plant until the president of communication to say that discussion on the table? But speaking to different economies, some are saying it's doable, it's long-term, can be beneficial. Some are saying it's gamble. From your own experience, the aspect of investing in our children and building a structure that can provide energy for us, particularly in the name of a nuclear plant. Is this a doable project? Is it economically possible? What is your view in that?
Yeah, I think it's doable.
Yeah.
But again, it also depends on the scale, how big you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to consider the investment that you need to put in,
mm-hmm.
and then the output that you will get from that particular plant. You do not want to produce more electricity than you can consume.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the surrounding countries, they are all, you know, working on projects to improve the supply of electricity in their own countries.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to consider sectors like who's going to be the off-taker, mm-hmm. how much of it is going to be used locally,
mm-hmm.
And then how much are we putting in? And then you have factors like how are you going to deal with the waste generated from the nuclear power plant?
Mm-hmm.
I remember from the mining expo we attended last year in August, Rossing mentioned something like looking into constructing like a small-scale nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will be a very good starting point. There isn't much information available in the public platforms,
mm-hmm.
but I think that will be a very good starting point,
mm-hmm.
where you start at a smaller scale,
mm-hmm.
and then grow, expand, as you also gain more experience, mm-hmm. in running the plant. Yeah, in running the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we can look into as a country. And the government needs to support companies like Rossing that are looking into, mm-hmm. into making it happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea maybe how long it will take to start up with something, not as a pilot, maybe something to sustain just ourselves? Can it take maybe 5 years, 10?
It could take longer, but like I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could take longer, maybe let's say
10 years. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Let's move to Diamond. Diamond has been the good kid in the block for many years, Diamond shining, and we have seen what Diamond has done to our human development. If you go to the north, for example, there's always records of somebody who was working for CDM who brought development, either bought cows or either bought a rent cruiser or a business at the surroundings. But we see that Diamond is continue losing value. It's continue losing value in international market. And people are also concerned because economists are indicating that one of the reasons Namibia downgraded because we depended more on exporting of Diamond too. But when the price changes, I want your opinion, especially regarding the demand of diamond going down. Do you think there are measures that can be put in place to revive this sector?
Okay. Mm. Again, let me just start by giving you context on what drives the diamond market.
Yeah.
If you look at the natural diamond prices, they have taken a dive over 45% from the 2022 prices, mainly due to increasing competition from significantly cheaper lab-grown diamonds,
mm-hmm.
which are as much as 75% cheaper than a natural diamond.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing here is that, the challenge here is that there is no big difference in the chemical composition of the lab-grown diamond and the natural occurring diamond.
Mm-hmm.
It requires an experienced person, like a gemologist,
mm-hmm.
to distinguish between the lab-grown diamond and the natural diamond.
Mm-hmm.
So this price gap is forcing the natural diamond price to remain low as the demand for natural diamonds
mm-hmm.
is low. Consumers prefer paying a smaller amount
mm-hmm.
for a similar product, for a similar product. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is even made worse by the weak economic conditions, which forces consumers to reduce the demand for luxury goods like natural diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the performance of the local diamond sector,
mm-hmm.
it is largely driven by the natural diamond prices.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, its contribution to the country's economy will definitely be affected accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So this may require the diamond sector to downscale production and consequently cut down on the number of employees until the market has stabilized.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not really something that we want.
Mm-hmm.
I think the government needs to look into other ways of saving the situation, let's say by reducing taxes on diamonds,
mm-hmm.
reducing the over-dependence on diamonds,
mm.
and then look at other commodities that are performing better
mm-hmm.
to try and make up for the revenue lost.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the gold sector at the moment,
yeah.
the gold price is at its highest level, and it's expected to reach as high as 10,000 in the near future,
mm-hmm.
$10,000 per ounce.
Mm.
So is the government benefiting additionally from the
great news. Imba just got even better.
Mm-hmm.
We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs, and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its.
I don't think so. One of the reasons why the diamonds were taxed, heavily taxed, is because it's a high-value commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a new kid on the block. So we need to review, the government needs to review the current mining tax regime
mm-hmm.
just to ensure that the country benefits from the overperformance of the other commodities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the last two questions while we are here. I just want your opinion, especially regarding, this global uncertainties. To say, have we done maybe what have we done maybe in 2025 that we can say has contributed to domestic economic performance to go down, and maybe what lesson can we learn, particularly in the area of domestic economy? And I want your view, especially in the mining sector. Is there anything that we could have done better that we can learn in 2026 to upgrade our game?
I think I would say local participation in the mining industry.
Mm.
If you look at the capital expenditure or the investment in the mining industry lately, it's all coming from outside. It's US dollar dominated.
Yeah.
And as a result, we are heavily affected. As the dollar gets weaker, it affects us. As the South African rand becomes weaker, it affects us
mm-hmm.
because now the money becomes expensive and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important that locally we start investing in mining.
Mm-hmm.
We do have GIPF. I know we need to have a risk appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to invest in mining projects. We can see that, we have seen that mining has delivered value. It's a matter of ensuring that we have technical people in our teams that understands, that can evaluate the profitability of this project or the potential profitability of this project and then take a chance and invest. So if money is invested locally in this project, it means that we'll fully benefit from the performance of the industry.
Yes, Ms. Belta, just the last one is a general view. I was following what was happening in South Africa last week, the mining in Damba, and the Ministry of Mines and Petroleum spoke something interesting about mining in the continent of Africa, to say we need to stop exporting. We need to build industries here in the continent, and we need to speak with one voice when it comes to price of minerals that we are exporting in the international market. Maybe from your observation, what is so difficult? What make it difficult? What lead to countries to sell the same commodity at the international market, particularly from Africa, with a different price? What are some of the things that contributed to that? Some they say, no, we are just forced to take this price because we don't have option.
Okay, I also attended the mining in Durban last week, and one thing I came back with. One belief is that when there is a need for collaboration, especially in Africa, let's look at Southern Africa. If we are mining copper in Namibia, and there's a lot of copper being mined in Zambia, for example, as well. Why don't we collaborate, set up factories? Set up factories that belongs to both countries, that benefits both countries, instead of trying to industrialize on our own, I think there is a need for regional integration, in the mining industry. So we all need to speak one voice, and then see and try to find a way of benefiting each other.
Okay, Miss Belta, unless you have any other point that you want to add, especially to Namibian young people? There are also those who want to, we want to make money, but we are told to go in any sector, but the mining sector is a bit, it looks for bigger guys. It looks like you cannot really find an entrepreneur who is saying, I'm into mining. It's a rare few people. What is your message, and maybe just your final input to those who are interested in the sector? Where should they start, and just your opinion on that?
Okay, I think there are a lot of opportunities for locals in the mining industry. First, you can look at the number of young people that are getting into, acquiring EPLs, exploration prospective licenses, and then get a partner to develop it with. You know, there are a number of success stories out there, which is a story of another day. And then another way of benefiting from the industry, if you look at the budget for procurement in the mining industry, it's quite high. I don't have the exact number, but locals can also partake in the industry by identifying opportunities to supply services or products, which is also why I actually encourage young people to attend events like the Mining Indaba or any events that basically bring all the mining suppliers together. That's where you identify the opportunities, and then you put yourself together to offer your services to the mines.
All right, Ms. Belta, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your input.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah, that is Ms. Belta Itana. It's a mining expert. It's an engineer. It's at the industry for mining economics. And is an independent mining consultant. And interestingly, when we are watching the mining in Damba, when we are looking at Professor Matashi lecturing people on economics, interestingly, she was there. And these are the people that we need, and these are the content that you know will be able to assist us to say where are the mining, where are the people in the mining sector. Why can't we, why are we scared of participating in our own you know, economic, domestic economic activities, particularly that is in line with our own resources? But the question is also, do we have patience? Do we really have business people in the mining sector? Or we have dealers? And what can I do in that aspect? But I think it's also coming back to what we have spoken about earlier, especially regarding to patience. Because can we really have a young person who can study the industry for 10 years, then invest for another 10 years, then after 20 years we can get the fruits? Or we just want to get into mine today, tomorrow we have money? Because do we really have that patience of looking for something to grow for 10 years or 15 years? Or we are also scared of, look at other people, they are already married, other people, they are already having beautiful cars, other people have kids. But we really have people with that that stamina of investing in an industry? Because and I think from my observation and of young people, and I know we are not going to be young forever, is that we want quick wins. We want quick wins. We want to win today. We want to be seen today as David, the superstar, with the money, everything today. But that is a problem compared to other countries. And I think we are not taught patience. We are only taught to see the results. But we are not taught patience. We are not taught long-term investment. That is where the problem also comes in. And that is also what we want to see when... And it's bringing us a lot of conflicts, because if we do not have that patience, then we are sold quick wins. Then somebody can also come and say, I'm going to do this for you if you do, if you elect me, for example. Then we continue asking that, knowing really to say some of these things could be a continuation. Why do we think a lot of people, they are not, they know what can change our energy sector is investment in a very small uranium nuclear plant. But if you say, but that will be, that will only be give us the result in 20 years, people will not want to get into that. I say, no. Let's think about that. But who is going to start things that will be the change of our economics, you know, development? And one thing that Ms. Belta has indicated is having a risk appetite of investing in the mining sector, having a risk appetite, and also the aspect of to save the diamond sector is also to reduce tax on diamond. Reduce tax, because tax was heavy. I mean, diamond was heavy taxed. And that is also not only frustrating those who are in that business, but it's also giving them tough time, especially when it comes to recovering. And the other thing which was indicated is also, apart from risk appetite, is also the aspect of is general economic diversification, and also young people to partake in real events. There was one engagement at Protea Hotel. It was youth conversation in economic affairs, youth and youth in business. Last year, then I stood up and I mentioned one point to say, and just for example, and not to against any other, you know, business, to say, no, if the way we can show up at Kasi Vibe, I just give an example, was the way also we show up at this event, it would be a very good thing. Because the real conversation where people are speaking about how to manufacture a Jameson, we don't want to get there. We want the conversation where, when are we going to drink the Jameson? The real conversation of speaking about how to come up with cars, we want the conversation, when are we going to get those cars? But knowing exactly that we are cutting that that journey. The real conversation on how to come up with a sustainable electricity, we are not attending that conversation. We want the conversation when are we getting the electricity? That is where we are failing, because we are still at the edge of the main economy of we are still at the edge of the economy, because we are still at the consumer sector. That's why today when I spoke about patience, I also spoke about the need to connect, particularly learning from the elders, to say those who went and through generation to generation, particularly within a certain industry, those are the people that can save, and they have saved countries. Let's get you safe.
Short on cash? Get to you safe for these super savings. 1 liter long life Nam Milk full cream milk, just $19.99. $1 kilogram U brand cornflakes, just $39.99. 100 milliliter Aquafresh toothpaste, just $19.99. 2 kilograms of Rice King parboiled rice, also $39.99. And pay only $109.99 for a 10 kilogram bag of Top Score Super Maize Meal. Hurry to your favorite You Save and save now.
We are moving with the conversation for today, especially when you speak about uranium, and you speak about the doability of the feasibility of uranium nuclear plant. And experts are saying it's doable, and it takes us 15 years. And can we really have somebody who can plant a tree that he or she knows? And it's only through the 8th administration conversation and being optimistic enough. And I think if the president start this project, it's not going to be a legacy only, but it's going to be a game changer in a lot of things. Because one thing which was stated by, the president of NCCI last year, is to say, and he stated it in a very diplomatic way, indicating to the president to say, Madam President, there is no industrialization without energy. There is no industrialization without energy. That is one of the sectors need to be looked at to say we need power. Everything is powered. You can't build without energy. And you can't build on energy that you just rely on South Africa and Zambia and our neighbors. Solar can be an alternative, but nuclear is a game. Because if we invest into that, smaller money, then by Agenda 2063, we are not only going to speak about our uranium went to the world, we are going to speak about our uranium is building our industries, giving us employment, and it's also becoming our critical mineral. Speaking about those who can fix the economy are those who have seen the system. Why do you think wisdom only finds us when we are old enough? It's because we have seen it all. And just imagine like this, just for to give context, imagine if Felix Tshisekedi, the president of DRC, could work together with the previous president just to say, okay, we have our differences, but Chief, how did you deal with these different groups from different countries in the same region? How did you deal with this? What can we learn from this? Because that one who is now at retirement have wisdom now, because he's seeing the system. And imagine if we could connect leaders to leaders. Imagine if we could learn from There's much to learn from China and the USA. Because currently, when Iran become powerful, and you can see it even in the mind of John Biden, who don't agree with that Trump, they agree to say the enemy of America. They are even advising each other to say, no, there is an enemy of America. This is how we should deal with each other. And I was watching one documentary when, especially of 9/11, when, George W. Bush Jr. Was very angry, especially with the attack in World Trade Tower and all this. And he went to call, they call him a president without a state, Mr. Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, and say, I need your advice. And this is a guy who advised all the president, whether he's Democrat or Republican. Then you realize to say, these people, when they are dealing with state affairs, they go beyond that. But we have that in Namibia, we have that in South Africa. To say, okay, you were a leader here, maybe you are not in my camp, but what have you observed? Instead of just me, David, I'm coming in after my 5 years or 10 years. Helmut is coming in. But we are speaking about the same thing. The conversation did not change. The conversation just got intensified, especially making Namibia not great again, but reaching Vision 2030, where Namibia is going to be industrialized, where Namibia is going to be competitive, where Namibian young people are going to be at the level where the developed world is. But just five years before we reached 2030, we are downgraded already. Or we are still struggling with what we need to do. But if we can connect those who have been around with those who are around now, that would be good. Because the other time I was saying, you cannot fix Namibian education without speaking to Tate Nahas, because it's a foundation of post-colonial education in Namibia. We can't fix it. And without all those who are in the middle to say, how did we move with this system? How did we come up with this institution? How did we form institutions such as NAMCO, UNAM, and many other institutions? How can we bring in now the private institutions to work together? Because if you want to fix currently Namibian education system, whether you are a professor, you need to speak to that of who started the system. The same with all the industry. If you want to fix foreign affairs, you start at the foundation. Do we have that chain of sharing of wisdom? If you want to fix justice, the same thing. If you want to fix the trade, the same thing. Because that of who is now not in power is able to see clearly now. Because, you know, it's the same thing like a granny who is 91 is seeing young ladies dancing and playing all these tricks, jumping out of the house. They just smile. They just smile because they know that you will come to the point. But those who can come closer to their granny and say, no, granny, there's this situation, they can advise you. They will advise you. And that is exactly what we need, especially now, to say, why can't we learn from those who have made a lot of mistakes in that industry? Instead of continue creating. We will still have programs drafted in 2030 to speak about 2035. But yeah, that is a conversation. Let's go to a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll look at the Villager newspaper for today to say what do we have in the Villager newspaper for today. What context do we have? And also, what are we saying about Namibian policies, economics, and also what are some of the advertisements there? Because today is a Friday, and I know Helmut is a good friend of our teachers and police officers, and today is the day. But yeah, let's look at that, and we also look at what is in terms of advertisement, in terms of you know, what you need to take home, especially to your partner, to your wife, to your children, especially if you are a teacher, a police officer, or the beneficiary of 20s. But let's come back shortly and move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Ngino wapombwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pombwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi. Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oija mwili nawa, ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile kumberewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapombwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pombwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oija mwili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Yeah, looking on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, it's indicated that Mitco paid producers 1.2 billion in the last financial year. It's emerged from its 5-year losses. And such a positive development at Mitco there. After all what happened, stated that, for the financial year 2024-2025, which ended in January last year, Mitco has paid 1.2 billion to local producers, cattle suppliers from south and north of the red line, according to update from entity, and must be able to get content of the Villager newspaper, particularly when it comes to Mitco. They stated that after all the challenges, Mitco is also able also to move forward, and also those are positive development, especially when citizens or business people or farmers from the north and southern part of Namibia can be able to benefit from that. And yeah, get page 3 from University of Namibia. Page 3. There is space for enrollment. There is space enrollment for 2026 at Hage Geingob campus. That is for a Bachelor of Sport coaching. But if you want to be the next Jose Mourinho, or you want to be Carlo Ancelotti, you want to be the next Alex Ferguson of Namibia, or Diego Maradona, and you want to be the best coach in Africa, and you want to take bravery somewhere, because really we need this course in Namibia, so that we'll be able to produce not only sport analysts, but also coaches who can be able to take us somewhere, particularly in terms of sport economy. And with University of Namibia, invite suitable qualified candidate to apply. And option 1, you must pass in 5 subjects. And let's go to Namibia Bills before we come to this.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the Spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have a capacity to build? But why are we doing that, honestly? You don't need to give a tender. If you don't have capacity to build, why are you getting a tender? And I'm very happy because in the current developments, issues of middlemen, I think it's going to die. And middlemen, at least, they must rest. And we must give tender to people who can do the job. Because you find 20 middlemen before you go to a real person. And somebody who is able to do the job is not able even to understand how to connect with that who gave him the job. That's why you see we have standing projects, white elephants project. I don't know why they are called white elephants, but just standing there. Maybe a white elephant project is that which does not like moving around so much. But you have a lot of white elephants, white elephant projects. But middlemen should be removed completely, definitely, immediately, and also effectively, so that we can focus on real issues. Because stated that we have an economy to grow, we have the people to feed, and also the nation to protect. We cannot be busy with a lot of middlemen, because honestly, what are you doing in the middle? What are you doing? Give opportunities to others so they can do the real job. We can look at other things, but what are you doing in the middle? Because in most cases, middlemen, they have suitcase businesses, but the real people who can get the job done are not there, especially in garment tenders. So that is this course of Bachelor of Sport Coaching. That is page 3. And those who have applied and who met the requirements, stated that here they can meet, they can go to Hagegenkop campus and they meet in person with Miss Agnes Shipanga, the faculty officer for the School of Allied Health. And interestingly, because when you study coaching, there's a lot of things that you will learn, and you can also be able to assist in what is mostly needed. And let us hope those who are going to graduate from these courses, they can go straight to fix those which need to be fixed, particularly in Namibia sport industry. And to say in terms of Namibia sport, let us wait and see, especially when the budget is going to come out, to see what's happening to our stadium. Is Bravarios going to play at home today? I mean, this year. Is Bravarios going to play at home this year? Because we are tired of being Simon Yamarombo. We are just besotted out there. We are just losing every year. And we even forgot what it's like as a country to win trophies in football and also in many other, sport codes, especially on the critical and the most important one that have been known. In terms of athletes, where are our girls? Where are the Bombers and the Masiringi? How are they doing? Are they on training? Do they need assistance? And this is a problem that we have in Namibians. You know, if somebody is doing well, if somebody is on their peak, you see all the institutions, they want to take pictures with that person. Everybody is inviting this person to dinner when somebody is but when this person now, they need us more, we keep quiet. And you realize that Namibia is easy to forget. Where are those people that were putting Namibia flying on top? What are the sport commission doing? Do they give them support? Are they still on track, or they need assistance? Or we only need them when they are shining? Because this thing really need to stop, because we need sustainability. Because how can we speak about sustainable economic development if we cannot sustain? If we cannot have sustainable support of those who are holding Namibian economy? Because we still have it in our memory when Christine Boma was overtaking those Jamaican experienced athletes, and we are all united, and more money was put on the table. But the question is also to say, what will happen moving forward? So, looking at page 4, Parliament requests for more time with national budget. They stated that Parliament is requesting more time, especially national budget. The Parliamentary Standing Committee on Budget and Finance has called for government to revise parliamentarian orders that include the budget process time within Parliament. And the committee requests for 60 days to scrutinize budget policy statement and budget estimates before they are tabled. And for more information, go to page 4 and read why people want more time. And I remember last year when Parliament was presented, I think Dr. Rukato also made a very interesting point to say we need more time to study this thing. And the people were laughing. But honestly, people, we need more time to scrutinize, so that we see how money is used. And because the issue of money is very sensitive, and money used wisely is a great investment. But if parliamentarians need more time, what about other policies? How much time do they need also to look at other policies? Because we must really be looking at all the things to say, okay, you need 60 days to look at the budget statement. How many days do you need to study petroleum oil amendment bill? How many days do you need to study mental health bill and many others? Because it should not only about budget, and it's going to be interesting to see that there will be no delay in passing of a budget bill, in approving the budget, then looking at other policies. But it's money. But let's also look at what our people in Augusta was doing also, especially when it comes to very important bills that can also drive our economy. And page 5, police officers and the teachers, they say that the woman block, if you want to buy back pro fat cake flour, just one for 10 kg just at 142. If you want super maize meal, the 10 kg is just 104.99. If you want Kadila chicken mixed portion, 4 kg just at 194.99, and many more. Get time, go to Woman Block, and be able also to see and also get those items so that you can assist your family. And looking at page 6 of the Villager newspaper, it's electricity supply industry rules to be modernized. When you speak about modernization of electricity supply industries, what is Electricity Control Board saying? And what are they saying with their stakeholders, particularly when you speak about rules to be modernized? And on that aspect, get content on page 6 and read more on that. And page 7, there is Independent Labor Dispute Commission to be established. Independent Labor Dispute Commission to be established. If you want to deal with dispute, especially when it comes to labor issues, get Anakreta article on page 7. My colleague Anakreta from Kavango, East and West, wrote this article, and get contents of the article. Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, at page 8 of the Villager newspaper. If you want to improve your ordinary level results, because there is always hope, either from English or Shindonga, chemistry, development studies, accounting, entrepreneurship. I think all the subjects here apply to Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, and the application is there, the banking details is there, and just $150 Namibian, and parents, you must invest in the education of your children. When government is subsidizing here you are also investing, so that your children will get quality education. All set for 40th Nedbank Cycle Challenge. All is set for 2026 Nedbank Cycle Challenge. And those who are very good at biking, using bicycles for competition, get that content, especially at page 9. We have industrial briefs. We have industrial briefs. 147 telecom operators transitioning away from 3G. What does that mean? Get content of that. And PSCE expected to soften to around 3.3% in 2026, according to the First National Bank. Money extended to the private sector households and businesses will remain flat for 2026. And Havana 4-way vendors not relocated to Ongos Ferry. What is going on? What does it mean? And Havana 4-ways, these are the Havana 4-way vendors. These are the people that are holding the Namibian economy, the informal sector. And at page 11, there is an opinionated paper by Peter Caron,
Peter Caron, that says Namibia above and before space when it comes to data centers. What is Peter Caron telling us, especially when it comes to Namibia above and before space when it comes to data center, when it comes to data sovereignty, when it's coming to AI processing power? What do we mean? And get that content of the Villager newspaper. And page 12, you have YouSave. We are telling you to say today is the 20th. Use that money wisely. If you want a mixed portion of real good chicken from YouSave at $99.99. If you want Crystal Gold tomato sauce of 700 milliliter just at $24.99. And if you want this Polana macaroni elbows pasta, very delicious, at $74.99. Then you also have the combo here. Just at the 299 Namibian dollars. You can be able to get 5 kg marathon sugar, plus 5 kg brown sugar, plus super maize meal, champion for 5 kg. Then you also have fat cake, wheat flour, 5 kg, and a nice rice, and all your 5 kg here. If you have 200 Namibian dollar or 299, then you can walk away with this combo, and your family is sorted and happiness is brought. Because they are saying an angry man is a hungry man. So that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And we'll leave you in the good hands of the big Mike, Uncle Mike, to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. Take care of yourself. It's a Friday. Don't do what others who are so not be happy. Or don't do what you couldn't do if you were looking from the other side. Make sure that the decision that you are making in the weekend should be the decision that will be able to save you in the future, not to bring you in difficult situation. Because in Namibia now, one wrong move, one argument, one financial decision, one wrong gathering with wrong people can mean something in the next 20 years to you. You must always be cautious, and we must also advise each other. Because there's a tendency of people saying, I know what I'm doing. See, a person is overspending. A person is into argument with somebody just came from jail, and you're in argument with a person. And you don't even know the person. And I know what I'm doing. I'm ho-ho. Let us advise each other, particularly in the weekend, so that we end up not on the front page of the newspaper, but also we end up with a good decision. So, the big Mike is yours.